more of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. The Milwaukee Film Festival is underway. In addition to screening more than 200 films, a hallmark of the 15-day event is the tributes that are paid to people, directors, writers, actors, critics, people who have made contributions to film culture as a whole. Yesterday, we spoke with two members of The Dissolve, a Chicago-based online film criticism and pop culture magazine. They were being honored at the festival. Today, we'll meet Milwaukee native George Tillman Jr. Tillman has directed and produced numerous movies, including Soul Food, the Barbershop series of films, and Men of Honor. Tillman will screen his newest film, The Inevitable Defeat of Mr. and Pete, which premiered earlier this year at the Sundance Film Festival. The movie was written by another Milwaukee native, and it tells the story of two young boys forced to fend for themselves one summer in Brooklyn. Tillman talked with Lake Effect's Bonnie North from his office in Hollywood, and he reflected on the movie, which is making its Midwestern premiere here.
It's a really beautiful, great story. It's a story that you never really see that much in film or on television. It's a story that goes untold. The script came to me around 2009 in February, and when I started reading the script, I fell immediately in love with the material. And then I come to find out that the writer is actually from Milwaukee himself. His name is Michael Starberry. He's a writer that grew up in the Hillside Housing Projects in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that he was now living in Minnesota. So that really sparked my interest to really read the material. But it's this beautiful, beautiful story about two young kids who didn't know each other very well. One is 13 years old, African-American kid, and one is an 8-year-old Asian kid, and their mom abandoned them during the last day of school. And it's really about these two kids who have to become friends, who have to rely on one another to survive a really hot, long summer in the Brooklyn projects in Brooklyn, New York. And they have to survive without any electricity, without any food, and they have to dodge the housing authority police so they don't get put into the system, which can lead to foster or being in juvenile system. So it's really about these two kids who have to survive with one another and their relationships and how we need other people in our lives. And I thought that was just a beautiful story, and I wanted to tell that as a director.
For Mister, who is the older of the two, you know, it's about his dreams and what he thinks he's capable of. And that's often a story we don't hear or see either.
Yes, you know, and the interesting thing is the movie is told through the eyes of this kid. And no matter how many obstacles that is thrown in front of this kid, I mean, these guys have to survive every day. And there's a lot of obstacles that come at them. But they keep moving forward, you know. And sometimes it's a good lesson for us to learn just through kids alone, no matter what things are thrown in front of them, no matter how tough things get, and no matter how bleak things get, sometimes they're not aware of these things. They all are in the moment and thinking about trying to get to the next day. And I thought it was a really great, you know, human lesson there, then, that we can learn from children, that we sometimes things get tough. We just have to keep moving on, and we have to go and dig deep within ourselves. And sometimes we need other people to help us get there. And I thought that was just a great human story in how these young kids are able to keep moving.
I loved the relationship between the two of them. The two actors just did such a great job. And am I right in thinking that they didn't have a lot of experience before they were in this film?
Yeah, no, they didn't have a lot of experience. I mean, they have done short films and smaller independent projects. And I was just taken away in the audition rooms by Skylin Brooks, who actually came in to audition the same day that Ethan Design, who plays Pete. They didn't know each other. They were there on the same day. And immediately I brought these two kids together. And one of the things that I learned as a filmmaker years ago when I was working, you know, like in a film like Men of Honor, when I was working with Robert De Niro, is that, you know, your actors is your partners. They're your partners in crime. You have to deal and work with these individuals for, like, the whole entire shoot, and you have to rely on one another and trust one another. And these kids, even though they were 13 and 8 years old at the time, they understood and was passionate about the movie and put every ounce of energy and talent and guts into the movie that they had. And I was blessed to have really tremendous, great kids in this film, and they were my partners throughout the whole project.
The thing that I think struck me as a viewer is that I didn't feel that they were acting.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing, and I think that is taking away the words and finding what's underneath and throwing the words out and really doing things through behavior. And I think that's what we learn as human beings, that we are who we are, not what we say, but what the things that we do. And they were able to understand that right off the bat, you know, just going to these particular areas and the projects and in Brooklyn and seeing a lot of kids who were left behind by parents, seeing kids who sometimes moms or parents had rehab, had issues with addiction, and they went away for a few days, a few weeks, or they get arrested, they left alone. They're able to have these conversations with these kids, and somehow the kids are able to see the behavior, the human aspect, sometimes because they don't judge. And I think they're able to really hone in on these behaviors and made it, the movie feel real.
You talked about having actors as partners. The other thing that I think has been really important in your career is the importance of the script. And you mentioned that Michael Starbury wrote this. Normally, do you write your own scripts, or are you open to getting scripts from other people?
I'm very open. I wrote my first two movies, my first independent, and then Soul Food was my second film. Really the first one that had distribution, Soul Food, and I wrote that, and it was based off my experience growing up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. My grandmother lived on 10th and Burlite. Every Sunday we had Sunday dinners, and it was an interesting time how family were close through communication and through dinners and through, you know, keeping the tradition together. So that was a personal story, and I was able to write that personal story. But since then, I haven't did that much writing. I've just been concentrating on directing, so I haven't always been open to reading other people's materials. Also, ironically, Men of Honor was written by Scott Smith, who actually grew up on the east side of Milwaukee. So he actually was a Milwaukee writer himself. So I actually worked with two writers from my same hometown. But just because of my writing skills and what I have done, I'm able to navigate through the material and see things a lot more clearly of what thematically what the story is trying to say. So it's been very helpful. And I'm always open to reading new material and hearing new voices.
I was just talking to a couple of the guys from The Dissolve, the new online film journal and criticism venture that's happening out of Chicago. And we were talking about sort of the state of film and the state of criticism. And one of the things they said was that they thought that Hollywood has just been having so much trouble making medium-sized and small movies that something like this wouldn't necessarily get a blockbuster release. Do you find working in the system as you are that it's difficult to get smaller projects? And by smaller, I mean it's relative, you know? I mean, it's not tiny, but it's certainly not, you know, a $100 million film.
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, for this film to really see the light of day, I tried with the studios very early on, and nobody wanted to make the movie because this is, you know, it's a story that, you know, they felt like who would want to see movies about kids who struggle. And I kept saying, you know, this movie is an inspirational film, but at the end of the day, it's not a high concept blockbuster summer movie. And I kept saying that I really feel that people want to see human stories. So everybody passed on the material. So then you have to go out and find the money independently, which we did. And then you have to go through festivals to look for a buyer. And then the buyers are always looking at what is the marketing cost and how much money they will get back. So you're very limited to who would want to buy the film. The great thing about us, we were able to have Lionsgate, Summit, and Cold Black involved, who bought the movie and really wanted to get the film out there. So there's one of us, there's 20, 30 other films that never got to see distribution or have seen it in their very small release. At the end of the day, you know, you just have to keep making films and keep pushing. This year has been a remarkable year because films that they said would never really work, you know, like years ago, Jackie Robinson, 42, it was years in the making before they finally got that off the ground. And then when it comes out, you know, it's number one at the box office. So there's been a lot of cases like that this year where people are looking for personal stories. And hopefully that will start changing things.
How important are festivals like the Milwaukee Film Festival to directors like you and to directors in similar positions?
Oh, it's very important because, one, you get to see your film get to be seen by an audience who truly love movies. These are, you know, audience who have traveled to see films, who have came from different cities to gather to promote filmmaking and storytelling. also as a filmmaker give you a chance to meet other filmmakers. So as a filmmaker and a writer, you isolate it sometimes alone for many months writing and working on your own material. So give you a chance to see what other filmmakers are out there. I remember years ago at the Toronto Film Festival when Men of Honor was there, I got a chance to meet other filmmakers, Darren Aronofsky, who had a film out at that particular time, Joe Schumacher. You see a lot of, you meet other filmmakers, you gather relationships. And, you know, the fourth thing I think is very important is that it allows your film to get seen to have possible avenues for distribution or for television distribution as well. So festivals are very important. We have done several festivals for this film, and I think it's a great outlet. And it's such a great outlet that major studios now, you know, are placing their films. Films with releases coming up are placing their films because of the outlook to get the word of mouth out.
Okay, so they're actually using the film festivals themselves.
Exactly.
But, of course, you know, for the film goers like me, it's a great way to see stuff that you would never see otherwise.
Yeah, I think it's often great. I saw several films that I saw at Sundance this year, and it was awesome. And I'm waiting the films that I haven't seen. I'm waiting for them to be released. So it's off. It does. It brushes you up as a filmmaker to see what else is out there.
One of the things I think, you know, people hearing this interview, and particularly aspiring filmmakers here, because there's a good film school at UWM, and there's a, you know, an animation program now that's at UWM and at MATC. What particular advice would you give to young filmmakers who are right here and want to go the distance?
I think the key is, you know, is really finding out what kind of stories that you want to tell and finding out yourself as a filmmaker. And I think an important key is to tell stories that are very important to you and write those stories. I never really considered myself a writer, you know, in terms of as a screenwriter. I just felt like I wanted to direct a film, and my only avenue of really doing that was writing. And the best way of writing was writing something that I know. And I really think that's the key, you know, is really getting to the direction of making movies and getting people to see your films. And if you're not a writer, and I just felt like I never felt like I was a writer. I just did it that one time just to open up the doors for me as a director, and it worked out. But in another avenue is if you want, you know, to make films, is you have so many avenues now. You know, you got digital filmmaking is changing. You know, the game, you know, and a lot of people are making films for lower and lower prices and for smaller budgets. And there's more outlets now because of social media. And I think it's very important. If you want to be a filmmaker, make your films. If it's small films, short films, narratives, documentaries, make them. Now we don't have the excuse that it costs a lot of money to print 35 or 16 millimeter film. And all it takes is a good story. And I think that's the best advice I can give anyone. And as a filmmaker now, you constantly, you know, should always keep making movies and keep telling stories.
Well, George, it has been such a pleasure talking to you on the phone, and welcome back to Milwaukee in the good weather.
Oh, thank you. All right, I look forward to being back.
Director-producer George Tillman Jr. will appear Saturday evening at the screening of The Inevitable Defeat of Mr. and Pete at the Oriental Theater. The showing and talkback are part of the Milwaukee Film Festival, which is honoring the Milwaukee native this year. There's a link to the movie trailer and more about Tillman from WUWM.com/Lake Effect. A documentary showing at the Milwaukee Film Festival spotlights the work of a Madison researcher looking into the science of positive emotions. We'll learn about that work when Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio.